you put yourself in Abraham's shoes for just a moment? And the way I look at it, I can almost see Abraham saying, is this really ever going to happen? I mean, you've told me once, you've told me twice, you've told me again, and it's 20 years later, you just keep telling me about this covenant. Is it ever gonna really happen? How much longer are your covenant promises going to come? And he says, can't we just use Ishmael? In Genesis 17 and verse 15, remember, he tried once already to try to use Eleazar. Now he's trying to use Ishmael. And God said unto Abraham, as for Sarai thy wife, thou shalt not call her name Sarai, but Sarah shall be her name. And I will bless her and give thee a son also of her. Yea, I will bless her, and she shall be a mother of nations. Now remember, he's what? Coming close to 100 years old. She's right around 90. She's going to be called the mother of nations. They've yet to have a son. God, what are you talking about? All right? As long as we're all on the same page here. And he says, I will bless her. I will give thee a son also of her. And yea, I will bless her. And she shall be a mother of nation. Kings of people shall be of her. Then Abraham fell on his face and laughed, and said in his heart, shall a child be born unto him that is 100 years old? And shall Sarah, that is 90 years old, bear? And Abraham said unto God, oh, that Ishmael might live before thee. And God said, Sarah thy wife shall bear thee a son indeed, and thou shalt call his name Isaac. Now I want you to notice what's taking place here. Remember, this is another covenant reminder, but I want you to notice how it's starting to get more pinpoint. I want you to see how it's starting to narrow in. Okay, he's now saying, he says, it's not only is your wife Sarah going to have a son, but you're going to call his name Isaac. And I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant, and his seed after him. And as for Ishmael, I have heard thee. Behold, I have blessed him, and I will make him fruitful and multiply him exceedingly. 12 princes shall he beget, and I will make him a great nation. But my covenant I will establish with Isaac, which Sarah shall be unto thee at this time. I want you to notice this. Abraham's finally like, look, you know, this is impossible, you know. And notice he laughs. I mean, he's laughing really at the thought of having a child at 100 years old. And he's saying there is absolutely no way that's going to happen. And finally he says, can't you just make it happen already? I mean, can't you just make this happen? But here God narrows in. He narrows in this covenant, and he says it's not just going to be with you now. I want you to notice how this covenant now is working. He says this covenant's not only with you now, Abraham. I'm also making this covenant with your wife, and I'm also making this covenant with your son that's not even here yet. I'm going to establish this covenant with him. And it's not just going to be just a short-term covenant, but it's going to be an everlasting covenant. And he says, it's not with you, but I'm making it with your wife. And by the way, notice, remember way back, he already changed Abraham, right? He changed from Abram to Abraham. Now he is changing Sarai's name from Sarai to Sarah. Now there's not a big difference, but there is a subtle difference between Sarai and Sarah. Okay, it's a very important difference. Sarai signifies, it actually means my lady or my princess, which confines her dominion to one family. Okay, it's to one family. But Sarah signifies either a lady or a princess, simply and absolutely without restriction, or in other words, the princess of a multitude. In other words, I am, and you see it in the scripture, he says she is going to be the mother of nations. I'm going to expand it with her. Okay, now God goes even farther. He names the son. Right? He says, I'm going to name this son for you. You're to call him Isaac. And by the way, he is going to come. Watch this. I want to hopefully bring this. Shortly after he makes this covenant, God appears this time to Sarah himself. See, remember God appeared to Abraham at this time, right? And Abraham laughs. Now he appears to Sarah. And I love her reaction. It's exactly the same as Abraham's. Watch Genesis 18, verse 12. Therefore, Sarah laughed within herself, saying, after I am waxed old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord, being old also? And the Lord said unto Abraham, wherefore did Sarah laugh, saying, shall I of a surety bear a child which am old? Is anything too hard for the Lord? Anyone answer that question for me? At the time appointed, I will return unto thee according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. Watch this. And Sarah denied. She says, I didn't laugh. No, really, I didn't laugh. Right? I didn't laugh. And God says, oh, but you did laugh. You did laugh. You tried to conceal your laughter. What was the case here? Think about this. I know you can't blame Abraham and Sarah for this. I mean, they've had this covenant promise for 20 plus years, almost 30 years by this point. They've had multiple times that this covenant promise is being brought to them, and nothing seems to be happening. And now God is getting very pinpoint, and it would take an absolute miracle for it to happen. And that's why God makes this statement. Is anything too hard for the Lord? What we have to understand, it doesn't matter what the circumstance looks like in front of us. Doesn't matter how difficult it may appear. It doesn't matter if it's absolutely impossible by our eyes. If God says this is what's going to happen, you can take it to the bank. That's what's going to happen. That's exactly what's going to take place, regardless of what it looks like. This was going to take an absolute miracle. That's right where God wants it. See, if it would have been any other way, Abraham and Sarah could have taken credit for what happened. But in this manner, only one gets glory. There's only one that's getting glory out of this, and that's God. Now, a lot happens, and a lot happens between chapter 18 and chapter 22. In chapter 19, you'll have the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah. In chapter 20, Abraham travels to Gerar. Now, it's crazy that Abraham's still at 100 and Sarah at 90. Think about this. Now, think with me here for a second. Think with me here for a second. Remember, Abraham is now right near 100. Sarah is right near 90. They went to Gerar, and Abraham still thinks he has to hide Sarah. And he lies again and says, she's my sister. Remember, she's almost 90. He was afraid they were going to kill him and take her. Think about all the things that have happened between the beginning of Ur Chaldees and to this point. And yet we find Abraham struggles one more time with his faith. You know, I found I've walked with God a long time. All my life. And you know, from time to time, my faith can waver. it's normal. Our faith wavers from time to time. God, are you really going to do it? Are you really going to say what you've promised? Are you really going to do what you've said you're going to do? And we see here that Abraham struggles one more time. You would think by now, at near 100, walking with God now for 30 years, that Abraham had this down. I hate to ask the question. How many have walked with God for over 30 years? How many still from time to time have had bouts where your faith starts to waver? We're more like Abraham than we realize. We are more like Abraham than we realize. Think about this. At 90 years old, Abimelech of Gerar takes Sarah to be his wife. The Bible's told us she is beyond childbearing age. And then in chapter 21, Sarah finally has Isaac. After they come out of Gerar, Sarah finally has Isaac. Hagar is sent away. But I want you to see this final time, and I want you to get this. This is the final time God speaks to Abraham about the covenant. In my mind, this is the grand finale. But it's not only the grand finale. This is, remember the last time God made the covenant reminder? He said, oh, by the way, Abraham, this covenant's not just going to be with you, but it's going to be with your son Isaac, right? And it's going to be an everlasting covenant. I want you to notice in this final time that God makes this covenant reminder with Abraham, that there is not only the reminder, but there is a transfer that takes place. There is something that takes place, that the transfer of the covenant comes. And it's here that Isaac is now probably a teenager. And the Bible says God has one more test for Abraham. Genesis chapter 22. And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, behold, here am I. And he said, take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah and offer him there for a burnt offering. Really, God? I mean, I finally got him. I finally have the son. You promised me a multitude of nations. You said it was going to be an everlasting covenant. And now you want me to kill that which it's supposed to live through. That was the test. It says, get thee to the land of Moriah and offer him a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. And Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son and clave the wood for the burnt offering and rose up and went into the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said to his young men, abide here. I really like Abraham's attitude here. I think Abraham's finally starting to get it. It only took him 120 years, but he got it, right? Abide ye here. Watch, he says, abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad, watch, will go yonder and worship and come again to you. Notice that phrase there. God tells him, go take him, and I want you to kill him. And he says, me and the son, we're going yonder. We're going to worship. And by the way, we're both coming back. was an element of faith that Abraham had here that says, I don't know exactly what's going to happen up there, but I do know this. God made an everlasting promise with me, and it's not going to end. And so whatever happens on that mountain, both me and Isaac are coming back. He understood something. He's finally starting to get it. He's finally starting to understand that this covenant that God is talking about is going to come to pass. And Abraham took the wood and the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac, his son. And he took fire, the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham, his father, and said, my father. He said, here I am, son. He said, behold the fire, behold the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? I love this passage here. This is so beautiful. Where's the lamb? And Abraham said, my son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. I don't know totally if Abraham understood the words coming out of his mouth. But in this moment, he reaches back. He reaches into a prophetic word and says, God will provide himself a lamb. Not just a ram in a thicket, but a lamb slain from the foundations of the world. And we're going to see this. This is so beautiful. And they came to the place that God had told him of. And Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood and browned his son Isaac and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And here we go. You ready? I love this. And Abraham stretched forth his hand. He took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. He was getting ready to do exactly what God said. And Abraham, the angel stops and says, don't do it. He says, here am I. He says, don't lay a hand on this lad. Neither do anything, for now I know. Remember this first start. He says, God wanted to tempt him. He wanted to test him one more time. He says, now I know that thou fearest God, seeing that thou hast not withheld thy son, thy only son, from me. What would we do if God asked for the most precious thing in our life? If God blessed us with it and then said, I want to take it from you, what would our reaction be? Abraham said, I don't care, because I understand I've got an everlasting covenant. And God, if he takes this son, he's going to raise him up. If he does something different, I trust him. I understand who he is. I understand what he's about, and I trust him with my whole heart. And Abraham looked up, lifted up his eyes, looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in the thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him for a burnt offering and in the stead of his son. I love this passage right here. And Abraham called the name of the place. Watch this. Jehovah Jireh. Right? The Lord is provider. But watch. As it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. I want you to notice something took place on that mountain. Abraham saw something. Something took place where it was recorded that in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. What took place at that moment is recorded in Hebrews 11, verse 17. By faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it is said, that in Isaac shall thy seed be called, accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, and whence also he received him in a figure. It was at this moment that I believe Abraham looked through the portals of time. I believe it was at this moment that Abraham, when he said, the Lord will provide himself a lamb, I believe it was here that Abraham looked through the portals of time and saw the Savior of the world. He caught a glimpse of Jesus Christ. It was here. That's why he records. That's why it says that in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. Watch this. I want to show you what Jesus said to those Pharisees who were trying to prove he wasn't the Messiah. Watch John 8 verse 56. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it. Think about this. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. Abraham looked through the portals of time and saw Jesus Christ. Jesus himself said, Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. Then he said unto the Jews, for thou art yet 50 years old. Whence hast thou seen Abraham? And Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. Before Abraham was, I already existed. I was the I am. Jesus Christ was the I am that Abraham saw. Talk about a grand finale. He caught a glimpse of Jesus Christ some 2,000 years before he ever came. That's a grand finale if I ever saw one. I could go into a few things, but I'm not going to go into that. It was here that the angel appeared to him again. And I believe it was at this place, as the father of faith, it was established. I want you to read this, Genesis 22, 15. And the angel Lord called out unto Abraham out of the heaven the second time, and said, be by myself have I sworn, saith the Lord, for because thou hast done this thing, and hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, that in blessing I will bless thee, in multiplying I will multiply thee, thy seed as the stars of the heaven, as the sand of the seashore, and thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies, and in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice. I want you to notice what God does here. He takes the calling. The original calling was, I will bless them that bless thee. I will curse them that curse thee. And then you remember later on, at another point, he says, I'm gonna multiply you as the dust of the ground. And then another place says, I'm gonna multiply you as the stars of the sky. But here he says, I'm combining it all together. I will bless them that bless thee. Multiplying, I will multiply thee as the stars of the heaven and as the dust of the ground, as the sand of the sea. And then he says, and thy seed will possess the gates of his enemies. I could take this somewhere, because this transfers not only to Isaac and not only to Jacob, but this transfers all the way to us. It transfers all the way to Peter. When God established the Peter, it says, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against them. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. That if they live and they follow God, God will do it. Here in this final covenant reminder, I'm getting ready to wrap up right now. Abraham not only transfers the covenant over to his son, But he passes it to the next generation. But now God allows Abraham to get a glimpse of something. He allows him to get a glimpse of Jesus Christ. He got a glimpse. I want you to think about that. Here he's walking, he's walking, he's walking, he's walking, he's walking, he's walking. 10 years goes by, 20 years goes by. How many, did someone keep track of how many, was it 7 or 8 that we ended up with? Covenant reminders. 7? Is it 7? There was one more, right? 7 times, 30 years, over and over and over. You know what came to my mind? Honestly, this is what came to my mind. I'm getting ready to close with this. One verse came to my mind. And let us not be weary in well-doing. For in due season we shall reap if we faint not. 20 years goes by. 30 years goes by. At any point along the way, Abraham could have said, you know what, I've had enough. You've made these promises to me. You keep telling me about this covenant, but it's not happening. But every time he stays faithful to God, and every time he stays faithful to God, and every time he stays faithful to God, and there's time his faith wavers, and there's time troubles happen, and there's time he may slip off, but there's he comes right back, and he says, I'm staying faithful to God. I'm going to follow God all the way through. I'm going to follow him all the way to the end, and in the end, the only thing that can be said, let us not be weary in well-doing, because we will reap if we faint not. I don't know how long it will be before God's promises come to fulfillment in my life and in your life. I don't know what things that you've been talking to God about and what things maybe God has spoken to you or God's impressed upon you that you were to do that was supposed to happen, that was going to take place, and you haven't seen it happen. Look, I haven't seen everything God has for me yet. But here's what I know. I can't be weary in well-doing, because in due season, when he says it's time, I mean, think about it. Abraham was able to glimpse 2,000 years into the future and see the lamb slain. Don't be weary. Don't get tired. Just keep marching on. Jesus, God, thank you for your word. God, I pray, Lord, that your word would, God, that it would encourage us today, Lord, that we would understand, Lord, that you have something great in store for us. And while we're, God, while we don't understand everything and we don't always understand your ways and we don't always understand what's going on and, God, why it's taking so long and why it hasn't happened and why things haven't gone the way we wanted them to go, God, I'm thankful, Lord, that we can trust you, that we know, Lord, that you have things in store, Lord. If we'll just remain faithful, if we'll just remain committed to you, God, we know we will reap. Lord, if we don't quit, if we don't faint, if we don't stop. Bless each one, Lord. Go with them and help them, Lord, to carry on, Lord, with what you've called them to do, to remain faithful to the calling, to remain faithful to what you're desiring for us to accomplish. Bless us, Lord, and keep us safe. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Michael, do I have permission to use your story?